In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the fifth Sunday of the Holy Great Fast. And the readings of the Holy Great Fast are structured as a journey of repentance, a journey of returning back to the Father. And that's why after the first Sunday in which the Church spoke to us about the importance of seeking first the Kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to us, in the second Sunday the Church spoke to us about the temptation and how we can overcome the temptation. Then the third, fourth, and fifth Sunday, examples of repentance. In the third Sunday, the parable of the prodigal son. The fourth Sunday, the Samaritan woman. And today, the man who was paralytic for 38 years. The Church chose these three stories to give us two lessons. One lesson from God's perspective, and the other lesson from our perspective. Let me start by our perspective. The prodigal son, the third Sunday, symbolizes when we make wrong choices in our life, when we choose to be away from God, be away from the Father's house, thinking that we will be better off, we will enjoy our life more when we separate ourselves from God's house. But in reality, actually, maybe in the beginning, we will enjoy some fun or some happiness. But eventually, the people will be miserable, like the story of the prodigal son. That's why he did not even find food to fill his stomach, and he returned back to his father's house. The second Sunday is about the Samaritan woman, which is in the fourth Sunday of the Great Fast. I know this year we did not read it because last Sunday was the Feast of Annunciation. When the Church chose the Samaritan woman, it will be an example of people who live continuously in sin. This woman had five husbands, and after the five husbands, now she is living with a person who is not her husband. People may choose to live in a repetitive sin, and some sins are addictive because the pleasure connected with the sin, it became like a bad habit, addiction, repetitive sin. But again, she realized, as the Lord told her, whoever drinks from this water will be thirsty again. It's a salty water. It will never satisfy your needs. As living away from the Father's house did not satisfy the needs of the Son, in the same way, living in sin will never give us satisfaction or the happiness or the joy that we are looking for. And today, the Church gives us the story of the paralytic man. And this man did not live away from the Father's house, or did not live a repetitive, addictive life of sin. But his sin was lack of gratitude, lack of thanksgiving. He was a complainer. He was grumbling all the time. The Lord, when he asked him the question, "Do you want to be made well?" Instead of answering the question, it is actually yes or no question. Do you want to be made well? Yes, I want, or I don't. No, I don't. But he started complaining, "Sir, I have no one to help me to get to the pool. I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Some fathers said the number 38 is a symbolic number, because 38 is 40 minus 2. And 40 in the symbolism means a person who is keeping the 10 commandments of God wherever he goes, in the fourth direction of the world. So 4 by 10, 40. So number 40 is a symbol of a person keeping the 10 commandments in the north, west, east, south, wherever he goes. And the commandments can be summarized in one word, which is love. And number 2 actually symbolizes love, because love is between two persons. Love cannot be just for one person. 38 means he is trying to keep the commandment, but there is no love. So he kept the commandment from outside, outwardly, but there was no love. He may practice prayer, but without love to God. He may practice offering sacrifices, going to the temple, celebrating the feasts, but with no love. And in dealing with one another, there is no love. There is complaining. There is usually grumbling, murmuring, lacking of thanksgiving, lacking of gratitude. The church is teaching us to stay away from drifting from the Father's house, and to stay away from the addictive sins, and to stay away from lack of gratitude and lack of thanksgiving. Because these three things can be obstruction for our repentance. When we believe that we can repent away from the Father's house, from the church, we are deceiving ourselves. When we are entangled in one of these addictive sins, we will have a divided heart, and our heart cannot be divided between the world and God. Also, people who are living without thanksgiving or gratitude, there is no blessing for them. As Mar Isaac of Syria said, there is no gift without abundance except the one without thanksgiving. Even the Lord, when he healed the 10 persons and only one person returned to give thanks to him, he asked about the 9 other persons. That is from the human perspective. These are obstruction, hindrance to our repentance. But what about from the divine perspective? From the divine perspective, God, in the story of the prodigal son, want to teach us lesson. God wants you to return. Even if you are returning for the wrong reason, just return back to the house of the Father. And when you are embraced by the love of God, then you will change and God will transform you. If you think about this son, why did he return to his father? Not because he felt he was wrong, not because he was missing living in the father's house. He returned only for food, because he wanted food. If actually he had food and money, he would not return. So he returned for the wrong reason, but the father accepted him. Because God will not turn anyone who returned back to him. But when he returned back and he experienced the love and the forgiveness of the Father, definitely his life will be transformed. His life will be changed. Even if he returned for the wrong reason, but his life will transform it, and his relationship with God will be a loving relationship, son-father relationship. The first Sunday of the Great Fast, the Samaritan woman, from God's perspective, God will not condemn us during this time. Because as he said, I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. When we return to him, he will not condemn us. This is not time of condemnation. This is a time of salvation. And he made it clearly the Son of Man did not come to condemn the world. As we say in the Divine Liturgy, he appointed a day for recompense in which he will appear to judge the world in righteousness. But now, this time is time of love, time of acceptance, time of saving us. That's why he was patient with the Samaritan woman. Although in the beginning she was defensive, in the beginning she attacked him. How you talk to me? I am a Samaritan and you are a Jew. She attacked him, but the Lord gradually talked to her gradually until he made her believe that he is a Messiah, and she was seeking her own salvation, and she became a preacher and went to her city and told him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Today again, the Lord show us his patience and his long suffering. He foreknew that this person, even after he was healed, he will go and tell the Jew about him. When they asked him, "Who made you well?" Once he knew that he is Jesus, he went and informed the Jews. And again, this is lack of gratitude. But in spite of this, in spite of the Lord knowing that this man did not repent and will not repent, and in spite of the warning that he gave to him, "Sin no more, lest you suffer worse things," but the Lord again was patient with him. And he giving him another chance, and another chance, and another chance. Which means the Lord will give us several chances. As long as we are living, the door of the repentance is open. And you heard it today in the Synaxarium about Saint Mary of Egypt. If God did not give her a chance to repent, she wouldn't be a saint. But God, in spite of her adulterous life, but God gave her a chance to repent, and he accepted her. Through these stories, the church telling us that, number one, God will accept us even if we return to him for the wrong reason. Then he will transform us. And God actually is not condemning us during this time. This time is time for salvation, not time of condemnation. And also, God will give us several chances. As long as we are living here, God will not close the door of repentance. The door of repentance is open for us. Through this story, through what the Lord told him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," these steps are very important in our repentance. In our repentance, the first point is to have the will to repent. That's why he told them, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? Do you have this desire?" Yesterday in the liturgy, the gospel was about Jerusalem. When the Lord said to Jerusalem, "How many times I wanted to gather your children like a hen gathers her chick under her wing, but you were not willing." So there is a will of God and our will. What is the will of God? He desires all to be saved. He desires all to go to heaven. Many times our will is against the will of God. God wants to save us, but we don't. That's why the Lord asked this person, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to repent? Do you want to live a godly life?" The first step in repentance is to have the desire to change your life. As long as you don't have the desire to change your life, you will not change it. You need actually to ask God to help you, to give you the desire and the motivation to change your life and to repent. Then the second step after the will is the action. He told him, "Rise." Many people have the will, but they don't do what is right. Like a student want to pass the exam. That's his desire, to pass the exam with great score. But he doesn't study. The will is not enough. To have the will is not enough. But with the will, you need to work. You need to act. That's why after the Lord asked him, do you want to be made well? He told him, rise, stand up, start working. And in spiritual life, repentance, the first work we need to do is the commitment to our spiritual life, to our spiritual exercises, whether prayer, whether gospel, whether confession, communion, fasting. Why? Because these are the means of grace. And we cannot defeat Satan without the grace of God. That's why we need to be committed to our spiritual canon in order to be able to defeat the devil. So the will and the action. Then the third point, he told him, take up your bed. The bed here is a symbol of excuses. Many times we have excuses. I cannot pray, I cannot fast, I cannot go to church, I cannot confess, I am busy, I don't have time. List of excuses. As this person was lying on his bed and he did not take any action, he just was a complainer and just lying on the bed. So the Lord told him, take this bed, which symbolizes sin, symbolizes excuses that prevent us from growing in our spiritual life, from pursuing the life of repentance. Think about what are your excuses in order not to repent. What hinders you? I'm sure each one of us, we have some excuses. Maybe I say I am busy, I don't have time. But do you care about your salvation or not? As the church teaches us in the first Sunday, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You need to get rid of all the excuses. His Holiness Pope Shenouda used to say, the main difference between the saints and us is one word, seriousness. They were serious. They took their spiritual life serious, but we are not taking our spiritual life serious. Get rid of all the excuses. And the last point he told him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Walk means, yes, when you start the journey of repentance, you will find many challenges, many obstacles, but you need to persevere. And through the grace of God, you need to overcome these obstacles. Like a student, once he starts studying, he will find some hard material to study or difficult subject to study. Is he gonna quit? Then he will never pass the exam. He will never reach his goal. He needs to persevere and to overcome all these challenges, to overcome all these excuses. That's why the Lord told him, you need to walk. Walk is a life of perseverance. Perseverance until you reach your goal. These are the four steps if we want actually to live life of repentance. The first step is to have the will. Second step, to act, to work. Third step, to get rid of all the excuses in your life and to be serious. And number four, to persevere. Overcome all the challenges until you reach your goal. May the Lord who healed this man heal all of us from our spiritual infirmities and help us through his grace to be his children and to walk the life of repentance. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.